May be seated. Rowan Williams, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury at the beginning of the century, says that Christianity has its beginnings in an experience of contradictoriness. Christianity starts with a bunch of questions because we don't know a lot about God, because life is full of questions. And he says, above all, because God doesn't come to us as an idea. That Christianity doesn't have its beginnings in values or in propositions. Christianity has its beginnings in a person. Christianity is about life and living. And not just any life, but one specific life. A true life that was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And if you're going to locate the heart of God in a person in that way, he says, then in some ways you completely cut yourself off to timeless truths because you can't use a person in that way. And that's not why this person came at all. Jesus didn't come primarily to teach us, though he does teach us things. He didn't come primarily so that we would feel certain things, though we certainly do. But Jesus comes to us, God comes to us to be with us. But that's what God wants. He just wants to be with us. He doesn't come by force. He doesn't try to coerce us. He doesn't try to manipulate us. He comes as a child, a gift, a friend, a mediator. God comes down to earth and levels with us to make a home with us so that we can change and grow, so that we can lean into our questions and open our hearts to faith and to hope. And to love, so that we can live a true life with God. And if this is true, if salvation and the work of God comes to us not as a process or a proposition, but in this person, Jesus Christ, and God in the flesh, then it is also true that there is no escape from our own lives. There's no way to remove ourselves out of history and the flesh, and there's no escaping God either, no matter how much we might try. And we do try. I mean, I certainly do. You try to escape from life and its troubles and travails. We escape into a screen or escape into somewhere else where nobody can see us. Or maybe instead of escaping, we just try to grab life by the horns and master it. That if we can do the opposite of escaping, and we can just have the will to power our own life, then maybe we can make something of ourselves, something of what we're doing. But what it means to be a person, to be human, is in fact that despite those intentions, we will inevitably make things worse. I mean, we don't want to, but it is what happens. That our life, beginning with birth, is full of limitations and loss that we have no power over. That we are indeed fallen and finite and subject to catastrophe. That we are vulnerable and never not subject to the possibility of loss. That we may, in fact, find ourselves bereft and orphaned at no fault of our own. So, but if the glory of God and the peace of men, if the Savior of the world and the Christ of Israel and the Lord God Almighty are enfleshed, if God is born of a woman with 10 fingers and toes and an umbilical cord, then that means that our humanity, our ordinary lives, in all of their seasons and in all of their sufferings, are not and have never been indifferent to God. But he cares about them enough to put them on himself. That since the very foundation of the world, in Jesus Christ, our lives have belonged to a divine economy of grace, one that is full of giving and receiving, of mutual care and responsibility, of sin, repentance, reconciliation, and redemption between ourselves and one another. And that these are the very things that real human life, that full and true life, is made of. Because they are caught up in the life of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And absent from those things, there is only darkness and death and loss. And that means that when we come to this person in Jesus, and when we see his mother Mary, that she is not just a vessel for this person to be born, that she is in fact the beginning of a church, a people, a household to be born, that her faith is an example of what it might look like to give ourselves over to a life with God, not according to our own will, but according to God's will. The glory that might happen if we take part in the groaning of all creation and hope beyond hope, that God will create and make something completely new and wondrous and glorious and full of life and love. It means that the birth of this person in Jesus isn't just one moment in time, but it is caught up also in the rebirth that is promised and that happens in his death. It means that we might actually be able to be born again, to be ourselves and yet altogether different, to die somehow in this life and to be made new, to live according to a new kind of future. It means that the clothes that Jesus is wrapped in are like a metaphor, not just for the way in which this baby is wrapped, but in the way that Jesus' dead body is wrapped in the tomb and then taken off so that we can, as Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That in our questions, we can wear and take part in the life that God has given to us. That there is no place for them in the inn is not just a statement of fact. It's in fact a foreshadowing of the life that Jesus will lead and live, where he will have nowhere to lay his head, and where much of our existence as humans will at least feel like we are wanderers and sojourners. That Jesus will get pushed outside of the city for his crucifixion, but it's there where there is no room for people that God will do his saving work, where the least and the last and the lost will be brought in to the family of God, where everyone else has forgotten them, but God has resolved to be with them from all time and forever. It means the shepherds are connected to the kings, are connected to the apostles, who will also see the glory of God, and they will run not only to the manger, but to the empty tomb. And they will hear from the angels who are a sign that heaven is indeed real and come down to earth, and we don't quite understand it. But they will tell us, fear not, Jesus is alive, and you are my witnesses. And everything has changed. Because whatever it means that a Savior or a Christ or the Lord has come for us, it is seen in Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, whom all the writings and the law and the prophets talk about. The grace of God has appeared to us as a person, a child who was given to us to die, his own body and blood for us, as a sacrifice to take on all the lawless force that plagues this world, all the things that we don't have power over, even death itself, and undo it, to make the sad things come untrue, to justify the unrighteous, and to show that our hope in God in this life is not in vain, but that the love that God is and shows in the child is stronger in death. That the glory of God in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem is our means and end, that we are made for this glory. And we sing it every Sunday, Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. Because we too, in Jesus Christ, are made children of God, whom we can cry out, standing where Jesus stands, to a Father, and live, not only with him, but together. A new Adam, a new creation, not marked by catastrophe, but by eucatastrophe. A good kind of change, a gift, a grace from God. Christian Wiman, the poet, says that faith is often latent in the lives we are not quite living. That God is dormant in the world to which we are not quite giving our best selves. But he is always imposing the question so that we can doubt our doubts about our life and they can be transfigured into faith, where our inklings of hope can become wonderings about what real life really is about. And when we come to worship on Sunday, or we come on Christmas, or we come on Easter, we're looking for that life again, wondering, is God going to give it to us? We can see that it is there and it is real, that it is hiding in plain sight, that God is not indifferent to your plight, whatever you bring in and carry into this place. But he is patient and kind, and he is making good on the promise of salvation, that out of all of our sorrow and questions, there will, to our surprise, arise joy. Good news of great joy for everyone, every one. At the heart of our lives is the question of whether we will, in fact, trust this person, even if we don't know what to believe. If we will belong to his people, even if we feel like we don't deserve it or that nobody wants us. If we will give ourselves over to this life, even though we lose our control. That we will come and see. That we will follow Jesus and discover that life and faith and freedom is not, in fact, about escaping or mastering the world. It is about the grace of God who has come into the world. It is about becoming human again with God, to become children that learn and grow and question and trust and love without fear. Without fear of rejection or isolation and death, but in the sure and certain hope of glory. Because while children are powerless and helpless and vulnerable and frail, just like we all are, that they are also full of life and of wonder, and they are a sign that God is not done with us yet. And he is not done with us yet. God is not done with you yet either. that there is no escape from that, but that that is okay because God comes to us as a child. He has bound himself up in the vulnerabilities of the flesh with us, and that's all that he really wants, is to be with us, to let our hearts open, to wonder and to hope and to come and see that he is still alive, that heaven has opened and come down, and that he is holding all things together. He is, in fact, holding your life together right now, making all things new, so that all of us might be born again to sing his praises and to worship him forever. Because it is to us that the child is born. It's to us a son is given. In the city of David, a savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.